All right, here we go. Let's cut straight to it. Live from the Gene Parmesan Memorial Studios, this is the Retro Smashed Video Game Podcast. Wherever you are, wherever you may be listening, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I am Weldy. Joining me here in the booth today, the man, the myth, the legend, the man that always wears white after Labor Day, he's Andy.
Yo!
And our other co-host joining us live from the Retro Smashed Online Radio Network? I just like saying that we have a radio network.
Coming live from on the spot. What's that called when the news?
Oh, like breaking news? Or
where they're like, oh, I'm out here in the hurricane and my hat's blown away.
Jim Cantore, everybody. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Hey, Ricky. Hello.
What's up, everybody?
Scared me for a second.
I know, yeah, it scared me too. I was like, what the hell is going to come out of his mouth? What do you say, boss? The three of us, we are the three best friends that anyone could have. We are all here again and together.
I'm excited. I'm excited to be here.
Good, good. Well, we're excited to have you here. Your first time on Retro Smashed. First off, let's just run through this. What have you two been up to? What have you two been playing recently? What have you guys been messing around with?
How about, well, I've been playing that Tears of the Kingdom still.
Nice. Is that any making any more progress?
Yeah, getting there. Got two dungeons beat, I guess is what they're called.
Hell yeah.
Nice. So you're just committing war crimes in Hyrule right now.
Yep, killing all those bokoblins and whatnot.
Have you seen any mind goblins though?
Oh, no.
Well, how about you mind goblin these nuts?
Jesus crisps.
Boo, get the 12-year-old out of the booth.
Oh, Ricky, what have you been up to, my friend?
Well, I have been playing Resident Evil 4, the remake, and I've also been playing Dead Island 2. So currently in my zombie era right now. That's where I'm at, and it's fantastic. Both games are really good, well worth the money for sure.
Nice. So I'm assuming, because we talked about this in like an emergency episode that we cut last week, you're playing Resident Evil 4, the remake. Did you ever, I think I forget from last time, did you ever play the original one?
I did. I bought the original one when it first came out for GameCube. Fantastic game then, fantastic game now. It's such a good game that I have purchased it on every gaming system that I've owned since then. So GameCube, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4. I bought it on the Switch as well. I had it for the Wii. I had it for that too. So yeah, it's a game that I will continue to buy forever.
Nice. Is 4 your favorite in the whole series?
Yeah, absolutely. 4 is the best. 4 is it's such a groundbreaking game. And it actually helped turn around first-person shooters as a whole. So I find it great. It's the perfect mix of action and horror. And just, you know, that perfect sprinkle of comedy, which is what is needed.
And that's why you came on our podcast, because that's what we need, that extra sprinkle of comedy that me and Andy can't provide.
Yes.
I can't wait to fill in the cracks for you.
Nice. You know you got to take me to dinner first. All right. So we're going to get to you here in a little bit.
Putting Ricky in the back of the bus. You hear that, folks?
Oh, Jesus. God. All right. Well, there we go. If we weren't canceled our last episode, we're going to be canceled now. Good night, everybody. Well, Ricky, it's good news. It's good to have you here. It's good to have you here in-house. And we are going to give you your first ever game. Are you ready?
I am.
Yes. All right. Well, since you two are going to be here playing by yourselves, it's going
to
be a one-on-one. Do what?
I said I'm used to playing with myself.
Oh, nice. Well, then you're going to be really good at this then. So what we're going to do is you guys are going to do a one-on-one. If we ever have guests in the future and it's going to be three or more, you guys are all going to have to work together as a team, but today you guys are going to be going one-on-one against each other in this upcoming battle, which is going to start right now. Is it this or is it that? Andy and Ricky have to choose. That was my ankle cracking. Don't edit that out. That's actually pretty...
I don't know
that's
if that
a,
might
That's
that
a sign of me getting old.
It's personality right there.
We're called retro for a reason, folks.
That's exactly right. All right, I told you guys were going to laugh at this one. I think you guys are going to enjoy today's game. Your category for today is Ryu Rings Like a Breath Through the Night.
All right. I'm getting some Sonic slash Street Fighter vibes on this.
You do. Well, you getting some Street Fighter vibes, and you're going to get some other vibes.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm going to give you a list of seven names. You're going to have to tell me if each of the names on this list is either a move specific to a specific character from Street Fighter V, or a song by Fleetwood Mac and or Lindsey Buckingham.
What the
what?
From Fleetwood Mac. I told you, like, I'm back. Right. Like, I've had a year to stew on these games, okay?
He literally has a book full of...
I do. I have a book full of games right here. I'm not even going to lie. I told Andy, I was getting this set up, and I brought my laptop in here. I put my notebook down, and I was like, don't peek. And he's like, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, seriously, don't peek.
I'll kill you.
I went all Batman on him.
I will find you and destroy you.
All right, let's get it going.
You will not leave this basement. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Andy, you won last week, so yes. You didn't go one-on-one with anybody, so I'll let you choose. Do you want to go first or second?
The lady always comes first, so Ricky, go ahead.
Hey, there you go. He is a gentleman after all.
Joke's on you. Ain't no ladies coming first in my room. This is a sprint to the finish, and if you're not first, you're last.
He's a gold medalist, folks. All right, here we go. Ricky, number one, Skip to My Chain.
Doo-doo-doo. Oh, we'll say that's got to be a Fleetwood Mac song, right?
Andy, what do you say?
I feel like it's a Street Fighter move.
It is a Street Fighter move. It is from Street Fighter V. It's Birdie's Critical Art.
Sure. Whoever that is.
like main finisher move. Kind of.
I'm so glad that I'm about to be blasted for being a very poor gamer now.
No, I mean, I know Street Fighter 5 is not exactly... Street Fighter 5 is not retro by any means, but I'm like, you know what? I want a wider variety of names, and I really think the list I got here is going to meet expectations. All right, you guys are keeping your own score because I can't count that high. Mm-hmm. I only have so many fingers and toes. So I think it's Andy 1, Ricky 0. Number 2, Soul Drifter.
Well, that's definitely got, you know, Soul... by the laws of science, that has to be a Fleetwood Mac song.
I agree.
You're both going to agree, and you both would be correct. This was a solo song from Lindsey Buckingham back in 1992 after the band fully disbanded. So they were not a band because they disbanded the band.
Is that what that
so
word
they
means?
Were not a band after they disbanded. Don't worry, folks. I'll be here for the next 45 minutes. All right. So Andy's up 2-1. Number 3, Go Insane.
Definitely going to call that as a Street Fighter move. Absolutely.
As am I.
Well, you would both be wrong.
Oh.
It is actually also a Lindsey Buckingham special from 1984. I think it was on the same album as a little song called Holiday Road.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was going to say Holiday Road. Oh, I can't sing it because we're going to get copyright.
Like, you're trying to get us banned? Jeez, my
with
first
Chevy
episode.
Chase.
Ricky be nimble, Ricky be quick. Ooh. Well, I thought it was funny. Whatever. All right. Still 2-1. Ricky, number 4, Burn Straight.
I can only get so many wrong in a row. So I'm going Street Fighter. It has to be.
Andy, what do you say?
I'm going to go opposite and go Fleetwood.
Oh, it is actually a Street Fighter move. It's a move from Guile. It's Back Heavy Punch.
Tied.
Yeah, you are tied. It's 2-2. Wonderful.
I look good in a 2-2.
All right, Ricky. There you go. Nicely dance, dance, dance. Or no, it was Dance Dance. That was a song from Fall Out Boy, right? It was just Dance Dance. It wasn't Dance Dance Dance. It was just Dance Dance, right?
It's just Dance Dance.
No, it's not Just Dance. That's a song by Lady Gaga. Dance Dance.
I quit the podcast.
God, 13 minutes and 42 seconds. Well done. Round of applause, everybody. Nice. All right, so it's tied 2-2. Number five, Whiteout.
Street Fighter.
Andy?
I'm going Street Fighter also. It sounds like Wipeout.
It is a Street Fighter move. It is Colleen's... I think I wrote this down wrong. It's a reversal move, but I don't think that's quite right. But it was on Wikipedia, so everybody, if it's on Wikipedia, then it has to be...
Abe Lincoln.
It has to... Close.
Well, Wikipedia.
Well, Abe Lincoln
only...
said it has to be true.
Well, Wikipedia is the only correct thing that's on the internet anyways. You can't trust anything else.
Exactly. Exactly right. All right. Well, you guys are tied 3-3. Number six, Peacekeeper.
Metal Gear.
Snake.
That's definitely that's a Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
Okay. Wow, guys are agreeing to the down to the end. It is a Fleetwood Mac song. Oh, yeah. It is from the 2003 album "Say You Will."
Was that on the Metal Gear soundtrack? That came out about that time, didn't it? I don't know.
I actually have Metal Gear coming up later in the podcast, so no spoilers. No spoilers. All right, so it's tied 4-4. I want to see who's going to deviate from the norm here to see if you guys are going to agree and go for the tie or what. Number seven, Rattlesnake Shake.
Fleetwood Mac.
I'll go Street Fighter to mix it up.
Oh, you shouldn't have, because it is Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, man.
Ray, dude, Ricky gets the win 5-4. It is from their 1969 album, Then Play On. I'm just surprised I actually stumped you guys on a lot of these.
Killing it.
I'm surprised I stumped you guys on a lot of these. Like, I thought maybe you guys were going to be like closet Fleetwood Mac like enthusiasts. No, I was going to be like, crap, they're going to know all these. But no, that was a good one. See, I told you, I've had a whole year to warm up. This is great.
Sir, what about me makes you think that I would even be remotely close to being a closeted Fleetwood Mac fan?
I don't know. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What about you makes us think that you're remotely close to being a Fleetwood Mac fan or a retro video game fan by any means? That's how you do a segue, kids.
That's a very good segue. Sure, absolutely.
I liked it.
I'll tell you a little bit about myself. This is the dating game now. I like long walks on a beach. I like pina coladas. You know, I like making love.
You're getting caught in the rain.
I was gonna say it.
That song's extremely dirty. But if you've ever listened to the lyrics, that song's extremely dirty.
If you've actually listened to that song, it is sincerely about two people cheating on each other using the newspaper ads to do it, and then ending up finding out that they're ending back up together. It's such a weird song. It's like the Macarena, where you find out that the girl is singing about cheating on her boyfriend with his two best friends.
Hey, Macarena.
It's so weird too. Like, I kind of want to do that. Everybody's like, hey, that song. And it's like, yeah. And then she's singing the whole time about just like cheating on her boyfriend. Like, oh, he's so ugly and lame. But his friends, oh, they're hot. What am I supposed to do?
Dance about it.
Am I crazy, or I don't know if this is just a Midwest thing. Did you guys have to learn the Macarena in gym class in like elementary school?
I had to learn.
I was in school when that song came out.
Well, Andy was like graduated from college by the time that song came out, so.
Right, I keep forgetting you're like
72.
You're like 36, and we're all 33 and 34. You're 36. You're so much older than we are.
Yep. I'm glad you're saying that he's that young. Because he is not anywhere close to that.
Damn, son. Just like that, you're going to throw him under the bus already? First you threatened to quit. Now you're going to throw our co-host under the bus.
Just throwing us out there.
That's
without actually giving away his age. If you know how old I am, add 7 to that.
Nice. I can't count that. I can't count that high, though. Like, I don't work at the bank anymore. I'm not supposed to be counting anything. So anyway, other than making love at midnight and drinking pina coladas, what else are you into video game-wise? Like, tell us, what kind of systems did you grow up with?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my house, we had the original NES. So I grew up playing Super Mario, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3, Duck Hunt. That's some of the games that I played. Then as I got a little bit older, we did get a Super Nintendo. We had a Sega Genesis.
Super Nintendo, you know, Sega Genesis.
I ended up as a PlayStation house, you know, pretty much throughout the rest of my life until I became a teenager. And then I was able to purchase, you know, go back into the Nintendo system. I've never, ever, ever have been an Xbox person. So don't ask me anything about Xbox. That's not who I am.
No, you're good.
What's your favorite Xbox game?
Gears of War, actually. I have played Gears of War. I hate Call of Duty because every time I would show up and play with my friends, they'd take me on that stupid Rust level, and I would get obliterated every time.
1v1 Rust scrub. 1v1 me on Rust scrub.
What is your, I think I asked you this during the extra episode, but in case I didn't, what is your definition of retro?
Very easy. Anything that is at least older than, we'll say 2000 and back, that I would consider that to be retro.
Do you have like a term for like, well, I'll kind of say like from 2001 to 2010, do you have like a term for like, that's not necessarily modern, but it's not like retro. It's one of those like ham sandwich kind of territories.
That's a tough call. I've never really considered that, honestly. Since we can't call it retro, I would say older. Maybe that's what I would classify it, because it's not retro, but it's an older game.
So you would say teenager, like, so 2000 and back would be retro?
Yes.
Like old school.
Yeah,
like old school maybe.
Yeah, I would say old school. Yeah, that's around that time frame. Yes. I mean, now, if we were saying old school, then, you know, anything older than 30 years is very much so old school.
Which era of Undertaker is
that? That's,
I actually also have Undertaker coming up in our happy time.
Very nice.
So you've actually got like two of the five happy times already. What's on your Mount Rushmore of retro games?
My Mount Rushmore of retro games would absolutely include Super Mario World. We would also go with, oh, you know, this is actually a good question. Hold on a brief moment here. I knew that this question was coming. I did.
You think?
So give me, I'm talking this through in my head right now and out loud, so there's no dead space, but Super Mario World was absolutely one of the best games I've ever played in my life, and I'll die on that hill that is probably the best Mario game ever made. And then,
amen.
I will definitely say that Sonic the Hedgehog, 100%, that's up there on my Mount Rushmore as well. I've played so many iterations of that
original
game.
Original Sonic? Or
all the sequels, you know. Yes. We'll also have to put up the Mortal Kombat as well. Not without bragging, me, Andy, and another one of our friends, when we all lived together, spent over $100 on a Mortal Kombat game together. Played it for a couple of hours.
We had all the DLC.
And they all were done playing it because I kicked their asses so much that night. That was the last time we played it. That was it. We played it once.
Didn't even download the rest of the DLC.
Jesus.
It was like $120 after like all the DLC, and after we got done playing it, they were like, yeah, we're not playing anything else with you ever again. And to be more specific about the Mortal Kombat, it's Mortal Kombat Trilogy, to be just a little bit more clear on that one. And I would say my fourth game that I was really into as a kid, it's going to sound a little ridiculous, but it was Toe Jam and Earl.
I played
that game so much, and it is like one of the weirdest games I've ever played in my life. And I loved it, and I ended up downloading it again when it got released on the Nintendo Switch.
What's your opinion on that new Mortal Kombat coming out?
I'm excited for it. I'm always pumped. I don't get as much time to sit up and play a lot of games, but I'm excited to see how they keep changing the story, and it keeps getting more and more interesting. Yeah. So I'm pumped for us to buy this game and for us to do a live stream for our podcast, and I kick your butts on it.
Whoa.
Ooh. I'd be down for that. I'd be down for that action.
I'm glad. And then we can play Mario Kart, and you guys can beat me on Rainbow Road all day.
I do speedrun that game, like the OG Mario Kart, so I probably could.
I suck at Mario Kart because I cannot drift to save my life, so there you go.
Okay, so you had your Mount Rushmore of your favorite games. Would you consider any of those games the best game you've ever played?
The best game that I've, 100%, it's always going to be Resident Evil 4. That's the best game that I've ever played. However, I will throw this one out here because I've played it a bajillion times and it gets better every time. Tetris is the best game ever. That's just, I don't care what iteration, what version, Tetris is the best video game ever in the historyness of history.
Solid take. Solid take.
So how long would you last with, what was it? 10 minutes in or something?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, if we just started at level 10 just said go, how long would you last in the game?
I'd be lucky if I can get up to like 2 minutes.
No half hour like me. I'm a pro gamer, bro.
I'm a
get good scrub.
I'm a 2 minute man, guys. What can I say? I'm here for a good time, well, not a long time.
Well, I mean, you are a gold medalist. What is on your Mount Rushmore of worst games you've ever played?
One of the worst games I ever played was the Disney's Aladdin. I don't know if either one of you have ever played that. Oof. I want to say, yeah, like, what was that? I want to say it was
version?
Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis. It was a garbage game, though. It was just unnecessarily hard for no reason. Oh. And you're like, as a kid, you're wondering why this game is so difficult to play. And then as an adult, I tried playing it again. I was like, why is this game so difficult? This is stupid.
Now, there's like a huge disconnect between the two because like the Sega Genesis version of Aladdin is always what's considered the more superior version. But it's, yeah, they say that one's actually harder than the SNES version. Am I thinking that correctly?
I know Super Nintendo 1 had more, the controls were harder to use.
Maybe that's what it was.
As far as, I try to stray away from playing a lot of bad video games. I don't know how to say that, like, you know, I've never played a bad video game. But in my time, I try not to waste my money on those. So, I don't know. I can't think of any off the
anything
top of my
rented
head right
that
now.
Was
it's
garbage?
It's that bad. I can't even think of anything. Nothing that I've played personally. That I would consider to be bad. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a softy on like rating games.
So you've obviously never played Home Improvement Power Tool Pursuit.
No, I actually value my sanity.
Sound like Ricky found the garbage disposal.
You've never played Wario Woods and SNES Pitfall and Ghoul Patrol. God. Wario Woods wasn't that bad, but it was like one song for the whole game. I think that was the worst.
You know, having grown up in the household that I did without getting too sad or sappy about anything is that when it came to buying video games, there was a very limited amount of funding to go towards that sort of thing. So if I wanted a game, I was like, I got to be real picky about the game that I'm getting to make sure that it's worth it. I was very much so like a...
I can appreciate somebody who's really meticulous about their game selection. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, so while my gaming is not a very vast array of gaming, I'm still very knowledgeable in games. I just haven't gotten a chance to play a ton of them because I had to be very selective in my youth. And as I gotten older, it's one of those like, well, now I have to be selective with my time as to what I want to play or what I get to play so I can make sure I finish it.
What's a game older than 20 years that you... Actually, I'm sorry. Let me say 20 to 25 years or more that you've played within the last year or so that you thought that you've probably spent the most time on. I know that sounds like a weird question, but like, what's the most time you spent on a retro game in the past year or so?
Easy peasy. That would be Super Mario World. I actually just went back through that game and beat it all again. I just finished it like a month or so ago. But another one that I've spent a bit of time on would be Twisted Metal 2.
Ooh, my man.
Which, you know, I hold very near and dear to my heart, especially with the show coming out here soon.
Yes.
Yes.
Check that out. Not on Netflix that we learned, but on Amazon.
Correct. That will be on.
Wait, right?
Yes.
Oh, it's Amazon. No, Amazon or Peacock. One of the two. I don't think I remembered. Uh-oh.
Boy, now we're going to have to edit this out and post here. Crap baskets. yeah, you can catch that new Twisted Metal show on Peacock. I promise they're not paying us ad space for this promo.
we're getting paid for anything we do on this show?
Yes, I'm getting paid in high fives. Headaches.
Thanks, folks.
I need to get paid because I need to put up the Gene Parmesan Memorial Studio plaque right outside my door.
So tell your friends that download our newest episode.
That's the best. That's a good segue right there. All right, so I played the game on the first episode with Andy. I want to play it with you. We're going to do a little desert island action. So I'm going to give you a console. You're going to give me the one game. So basically you get all of these consoles on a desert island and a TV and unlimited electricity, which I mean, you can build a boat out of it if you want. The professor took like what, 20 years to build a boat?
He built several. It's just
he just couldn't
get back off the island.
Yeah, fix the radio. Yeah, it was terrible. But all right, so you're on desert island. You're going to get all of these game systems. You get one game with them. So are you ready?
3-hour submarine ride?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I don't want to take any submarine. I don't want to take any submarine rides. Oh, no. I don't want to be liquefied halfway down the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, my heart will go on. All right, here we go. Oh, I thought it was funny. All right, ready?
Go for it.
All right. The OG Atari. We'll give you the Atari 2600 or 5200 if you want.
I would actually take the original Pong.
Oh, sorry. Again, it was Pitfall.
Sorry. It is. I'm sorry. You're
out. That last time.
Yeah, I was going to say. Andy said the same thing, and he stole my line. Credit. Good work. Good memory. Okay, so we got Pong for that one. Let's skip ahead a little bit. NES.
You know, I feel like this is a trick question because you're going to, like, I'm going to say something and you're going to say, oh, that's a terrible answer. So I'm still, you know, let's just say Super Mario Brothers 3.
Ooh, nice. Ooh, that's a solid answer. That's like that's arguably the best game, not only on the NES, but like it's on top 10 lists of all time.
It is.
So that's a solid answer.
And you know what's wild is that I have never beaten that game without it being two players. I have never ever gone through just one player mode on that. It is horrible.
It is a long game. It is a slog to get through it. It's terrible.
We need to do an episode on the Game Genie. Just saying.
The Game Genie. Yes.
Let's do it.
Game Genie and Game Sharks.
Yep.
That's what made the 90s go round, man. I'm telling you. You don't know fun until you're playing Twisted Metal 2 and you throw in that Game Shark and, oh, now I can play as Darktooth?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna just tear up my disc?
Now I have,
oh, this is going to be awesome.
Now I have unlimited ammo? Yes.
But wait, how did I get stuck under this bridge? This is a problem.
What's your Super Nintendo one?
I think my Super Nintendo one should be a pretty spot on pick because I'm a Mario head through and through, so I'd easily play Super Mario World all day, every day, you know, forever days.
The Genesis.
Hennessy.
Let's say that's a good one there. I'd probably go with the original Sonic just because of how fun it's such a nostalgic thing. And just hearing that opening music to Green Hill Zone, I think it would actually make me feel a little bit more calm while I'm out there on that desert island.
Foraging for food. Just don't go into the water.
Yeah, don't in the water.
Do you think that's the music that they heard when they were down in that submarine?
Jesus Christ, man. Oh God, this podcast is imploding by the second. All right. You will edit this out.
No.
No, we will not.
PS1. Shut up, PS1. Before we get canceled, PS1.
Elon's coming for us.
I would take
Great for my friends.
I would take Crash Bandicoot 3. Cortexing time.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
That's
Man, that you think Super Mario 3 is a hard game. Any of the Crashes are a hard game.
Yeah, I purchased all of those on the Switch when they dropped that bundle package. And my gosh, just like going back through those, I was like, dear Lord, how did I not manage to throw a controller through a wall as a kid? Like playing them as an
adult. They're expensive.
Playing like the Crash right. games as an adult made me, I was like, yeah, I'm getting aggressive right now.
Be aggressive. All right. Let's go. I'll round these two together. We'll say PS2 and PS3. We'll round
That's
them together.
A huge category.
Well, unless I mean you can split them if you want. We'll go PS2 and
like 20
or
years
PS3.
Of game.
Yeah, I suppose that's right. Yeah, I suppose you're true.
Okay. Boy, that is a huge category. Boy, I don't even remember which one of those. Which one? The one of the Grand Theft Auto was that Grand Theft Auto 3 that was on PlayStation 2, I believe. Was that Vice City?
Yeah. I think the original, I guess I shouldn't say the original trilogy, but the like the 3D open world trilogy was on PS2.
Yeah, I take that. That would be something that I could be entertained with for hundreds of hours, honestly.
Let me round all of this into one category since you said you were not a big Xbox fan, but do you want to go separate Xbox consoles or do you want to just round them all together and say Gears of War?
You might as well go ahead and round them all together, and I'm going to chalk this one up to Gears of War. Doesn't matter which one, that's all I would play. Suck it, Halo.
Suck it, Master Chief. All right, the grand finale. You know what? No, we're going to go two grand finales. Let's go GameCube first.
Oh. See, I'm glad that you circled back around to that. I was pretty upset at first. I was like, man, he just disrespected the GameCube. So, absolutely, I would take Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to round.
Best game
I was hoping
ever.
You were going to go something like that. Well, then let me round that backwards and go N64.
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
No, you two copied each other's answers, didn't you? No cheating. No cheating.
I think it's because we played it. God. The multiplayer quite a bit.
No cheating at the Retro Smash video game podcast. Come on.
I was texting
whatever. Him. I'm sticking my game. I'm sticking my Game Shark into this podcast and hacking it.
who's your Smash main?
Kirby. 10 out of 10. Kirby sucks. Through and through. I have dominated many a night with Kirby. And there's a reason why I'm not allowed to play Smash Brothers for certain people anymore.
Isn't Kirby, like, not really allowed? Like, it's almost like playing as Odd Job in GoldenEye. Like, that's one of those, like, universally frowned upon characters. Like, you can't shoot Odd Job because he's too short. And, like, you can't... Something about, like, Kirby's a cheap character. Cause, well, narrator, Kirby is also Weldy's main as well. But I am also Booty Cheeks at Smash.
The character that's actually highly frowned upon is Meta Knight, to my knowledge, and I believe that he got nerfed as hell in the most recent update. Love me some Kirby. I actually downloaded that new Kirby game that just came out. I know there's like six of them, but the really good one where he gets to like suck up cars and stuff. That's the good one.
That was fun.
I think about the Kirby games. I think I always played Dream Course. That was one I always played on the SNES. That one was fun.
The golf game.
Yes, I think that's why I liked it so much, because it wasn't like all the other ones. It was like actually literally golf, which is why I liked it so much.
Did you ever play the Kirby pinball game?
I've not played it, but I hear that it's fun.
It was fun. I had fun.
One big grand finale here, Nintendo Wii.
Third finale.
That's the big finale.
I'm like the Rolling Stones. I keep coming back for encores. I've given my final tour like six times. Shut the hell up.
So I know that the answer that most people would give would be something like maybe Super Mario Galaxy or even Wii Sports. But I'm a simple man. I would go with Boom Blocks.
Oh, that was fun.
Ooh, that was fun. Unconventional answer. I love it.
It's such a, you know, you're right. Pretty much, you're playing Jenga, you know, and it's like the dumbest idea for a game, and yet it's the best idea for a game.
Especially for those controls.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the Wii, you know, with the Wiimotes, and you're like, I gotta keep a steady hand. Oh, there it is.
One final interview question here. I ask Andy this, I'm gonna ask you the same thing. You're a burglar in a house, but you only steal things that slightly inconvenience your victims. What are you stealing?
I'm stealing all the batteries out of the remotes, and I'm taking all of their keys.
Oh, keys is a good one. Because you said, Andy, what did you say last time?
Toilet paper and oven rack.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because I remember if you said toilet paper or toilet paper rolls. Because I remember somebody said, I was talking to somebody at work, and they said toilet paper rolls. I'm like, you do realize they have rolls of toilet paper without the cardboard inside. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, they're all like economically friendly now. Like they make them without the cardboard rolls now. You just throw them on the whatever holder and just go to work.
Go to town.
Better question is, which one of you heathens are still doing that and not using an actual bidet?
Oh, I think that would be me. Yeah, I have not switched to the. I don't have the moxie to switch to the bidet quite yet,
sir. It is $25 and it takes 10 minutes to install that. It is worth it. This is me on our podcast. I'm not – Big Bidet isn't sponsoring this. This is literally me telling you people to go out and get a bidet for your toilet. You gamer people, I know for a fact y'all sitting in that chair all day. Go get yourself a bidet. Go spray your butt cheeks out.
Can I get a bonite?
Boo. Boo.
I thought it was funny. Okay, well, that was good. And are you excited to be on the podcast with us?
You better,
guys.
Be.
I
am incredibly excited. Just
I don't care. All right, on to the Nintendo Direct.
Oof.
the Nintendo Direct, June 2023. We'll get to this list real quick. I'm going to see if there's anything that sticks out to you guys. So it was on the June 21st presentation from the Summer of Gaming. Nintendo Direct had their upcoming games for this year. Before we get into the full list, was there anything that really stood out to you two? Andy, you go first. Was there anything on the list that stood out to you by chance?
Elephant Mario.
Mario Wonder, yep.
Yep.
Ricky, anything to say that to you, my friend?
Yeah, that got me. It was definitely Elephant Mario.
Yeah, as a fan of the 2D Marios, that really caught me. That caught my attention, too, because I'm like, that might take it back to the Super Mario World days, which I speedrun Super Mario World anyway. I'm like, this could be something cool. Like, I really could like this.
The weird trivia pipes. Like, snake pipe thing. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. Is there anything else? Are you guys excited about the Super Mario RPG remake by chance?
Yes, absolutely. 10 out of 10.
I never
Finally! I am a RPG-loving son of a bitch, so I am pumped for this.
I've never played. I got that little tiny Super Nintendo thing. I beat Metroid, and that's the only game I played on it.
Oh.
I bought it to play Earthbound and Super Mario RPG, but I never got around to
that's,
playing them.
You know, it's
funny I played
because...
those both. I played both.
No, go ahead. Go.
Oh, I was going to say, those are two games that I played. Like, I played the RPG. I'm not a big RPG person just because I have, like, short-term memory loss from lack of sleep.
I think you don't like playing RPGs because you don't like the grind of it.
Well, okay, now here's the difference. It's not the grind that bothers me, because I can play an RPG for 10 to 12 hours, but if I go to sleep and set the controller down for any amount of time, I'll come back to the game and I'll be like, what the hell was I doing? Well, where was I going? Like, what's going on? Where it's not like in Fallout, where, like, okay, so in Super Mario RPG or Earthbound, the game's really, like, linear. Like, you may not think it is, but it's extremely linear, where it's like, okay, you can only do so many things, but then you have to progress the plot. Whereas Fallout, like, I could do anything in the world I wanted to. I don't have to progress shit. I don't have to progress the plot. I don't have to do the storyline. I told you guys last time, I played 85 hours into Fallout 4 and made zero progress. Like, I seriously, like, I went bobblehead hunting, and I mean, that's what I do in those kind of games, like that and Red Dead Redemption to a lesser extent. Like, I do, I go bounty hunting and I go treasure hunting, and yeah, I don't follow the main storyline, but they kind of plays, I feel like they kind of play like a BioShock, where it's like you're being railroaded without feeling like you're being railroaded. Maybe that's a bad way to put it.
BioShock's kind of more railroading than the other two games, for sure. BioShock, there's not much of a unbeaten path because you're underwater, I guess. I don't know. But you can't really go too far with BioShock. Whereas Red Dead, you can just literally go anywhere.
Right.
Oh, I could see that, though, with it being a, you know, you like playing a game where you don't have to necessarily advance the plot, and you could just play and play and play and play and play forever, you know? And then finally you get around to, like, actually doing something. So I get that, totally.
But it's not like Chrono Trigger or any of the Final Fantasies. I guess I haven't played a whole lot of the Final Fantasies, but I've watched our friend Aerybabble. Shout out Aerybabble.
Add her to the list.
Well, I feel like that's unwritten. We're going to be shouting her out, and we're going to be shouting out the Victory Achieved podcast.
Again, they shouted us
all the time.
Last podcast. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you guys very much. They shout us all the time. And
but, shout off contest. Shout out.
No, we've been like, I watched her play Chrono Trigger, and the one thing that I think really got me was a lot of the storyline was good, but the actual battles were so much better. Like, the actual battles were just fantastic to watch. I feel like that made it the whole game. Like, I love that kind of stuff. But any game where I'm in an RPG where it's like, you know, either be an open world or don't. Let me go explore or don't. Let me do this or don't. I think that's what draws the line for a lot of RPGs for me. And I'm just like, I forget where I'm going or what I'm doing. And I'm just like, I'm not going to finish this. I'll try something else. And that's why I only got like a third of the way through Earthbound and like a quarter of the way through Super Mario RPG. They weren't bad games. I just couldn't bring myself to finish them.
What about Pokemon? I'm pretty sure you beat that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've played blue and red, but that's a lot more linear. And I mean, the battles are great in that. Like, the original blue, red, like, you look back now, you're like, oh, it's super pixelated. But man, when I was like 9 or 10 years old, that transferred me to a whole different place without even thinking about it. But yeah, there was a little bit to explore. Like, you'd really, I guess, in order to advance the story, like, you had to explore.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like exploring for fun. Like, oh, what about the Safari Zone? Well, that's the only way you got Surf or Fly or whichever one. Or Strength or Flash, whichever HM you got.
Pokemon sucks.
I'm going to be... Ooh, hot take.
I'm joking.
I'm going to be crucified for my terrible RPG. All RPG takes.
I mean, it can't be that bad.
I thought I was going to be crucified for my RPG takes. And then you come out with Pokemon sucks.
Anybody and everybody who knows me knows that I love Pokemon. I just bought the new Pokemon Violet. You know, I bought the Let's Go Eevee. I got the Arceus one also. I'm a massive Pokemon nerd. So that's going to be one of my next tattoos is getting a Pokeball.
Which way did you upgrade your Eevee?
What did you say?
How did you upgrade your Eevee? Your Eevee, which way did you go?
For which game? My Let's Go Eevee one?
Yeah.
I never beat it. So that should tell you there. I get partially through a Pokemon game, and then I stop like after like 20, 30 hours.
I can respect Fair. That. I can respect that. You just heard my like RPG RPG rant. Failures.
Did you like Detective Pikachu?
Yeah, I guess that would be a great segue. Ryan Reynolds. Because there is a new Detective Pikachu coming out also.
Oh, really?
Yes. Detective Pikachu Returns. That was part of the Nintendo Direct. So while I didn't get to play, I did not play the first one, I am actually excited to play this one that's coming out. Hopefully it doesn't require me to have played the first one, because boy, am I screwed on that.
It's a good segue, because there's other things that were on this list let's see. Just to name off a few, WarioWare, Move It, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, coming to the Switch.
Interesting.
Pikmin is making its long-awaited return.
Oh, so excited.
Is that the third one?
Pikmin 1 and 2. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, The Hidden Treasure of Area Zero, maybe? I'm trying to read this.
Sure.
Sonic Superstars, Persona 5, which Persona 5 is a phenomenal game. It's a phenomenal game to watch. I don't think it's a game I would play. It's a phenomenal game to watch. Also played by RPG. Our friend Ari Babel. Shout out.
Shout out.
Splatoon 3 coming. That's a TIFF game. Shout out, Chibi TIFF. Princess Peach is getting her own game. Batman Arkham Trilogy.
How that's going to run on the Switch.
You what?
Curious how that's going to run on the Switch, because it's having issues on the PC port.
Oh, yeah. You think it's not going to be, like, powerful enough?
I mean, it's going to be powerful enough to run, I guess. They put it out.
Arkham City was one of the greatest games I've ever played. I'll throw that out there. Arkham City was one of the most phenomenal games I've ever played.
Agreed. Definitely.
The Metal Gear Solid Collection. Pikmin 4. There's Pikmin 4.
Ah.
Let's see. Star Ocean, the second story, Square Enix makes a raging return. And Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, the Booster Course Pass. I really just wish they would bring all of the Super Nintendo courses back at the same time in one package, but that's never going to happen.
There's still Mario Kart stuff DLC coming out? I thought they were all done finally.
I guess not. I mean, they've been saying for a while they were doing like one DLC pack like per like
months.
fall, winter, spring, summer, and
I thought they were done. I don't know. I haven't. I think I downloaded the last two and I stopped.
Oh, see, I knew they were at 4 of 8 because they added the SNES Rainbow Road.
Oh, nice.
But I'm waiting for them to. I mean, I'm not a big Mario Kart 8 fan, but anytime I'm over playing with Eric, anytime we play Mario Kart 8, because he's like one of the best Mario Kart 8 players I've ever met, we definitely go to the SNES tracks. It's like he's like, oh, we'll alternate picking, and he picks his tracks, and then I pick all the SNES tracks.
Who's your Mario Kart main?
Oh, Koopa Troopa, Ricky.
Mine would be Yoshi.
Yoshi?
Between Yoshi and Toad.
Mine's Bowser again.
Toad.
Oh, you like the Light Boys.
Light Boy. All right, Ricky, this is going to be your first time for this one. Are you ready?
I'm ready!
All right, SpongeBob, let's do this because we got to get some claps in. It's happy time, people. Yay. Happy time, people. Happy anniversary, Street Fighter Alpha 3, the arcade version of this game released in the United States 25 years ago on June 29th, 1998. What was the highest Street Fighter you guys played? Like, besides,
two.
For, I guess, say, two.
Street Fighter 2 Alpha.
Oh, were you a new... you were all new challengers or Street Fighter 2 Turbo?
Yeah, that's pretty original much as far as it got.
Street Fighter 2.
Street Fighter. You know, that's not...
Alpha 3 was great.
That's not true. Are we including, like, the Capcom versus Street Fighter games, or...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Because
that's a little apples to oranges, but I mean, I'll count it. I would say, yeah.
Okay, then I guess it doesn't count.
Wait, apples to oranges are both still fruits. I say it counts. Whatever. I don't make all the rules. I mean, actually, no, I'm sorry. This is my podcast. So, yes, I do make all the rules. Screw you.
Excuse you. It's our podcast. Andy, go ahead. Change the Gmail account, and we're taking the Twitter account from
slap
them
him
too.
Slap him a bit.
Our podcast.
Okay. Yeah, you better sing a different tune.
Yeah, that's good. I say. We're going to sing a different tune to the 35th anniversary, happy anniversary, Metal Gear, the original Metal Gear, which is what I was alluding to earlier, released on the NES June 17th, 1988.
Wow.
Oh,
in college.
Yeah,
give or take. In college. I thought you said he wasn't that much older than we are.
I was a Doogie Howser. I was a little baby genius.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to add that to the happy trail. Let's just do a quick happy trails. Happy trails, any inclination of me thinking that Neil Patrick Harris was going to be the next host of Wheel of Fortune. I would have put my life savings down saying they were going to call Neil Patrick Harris to be the next host of Wheel of Fortune. But
would have loved that. Would have
Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, not. I have opinions, but yeah, shame that it's not Doogie Howser.
That is, yeah, taking Ryan Seacrest for that is like, getting 12 at blackjack and staying. Like, that's the safest option ever. Like, okay, I'm sorry. It's a straight white dude that's hosted everything. Like, you gotta hit the demographic for that. And I can understand where they're coming from, but it's like, come on, you can't find, like, seriously, if they, I don't know. Like, there were so many other names that Mario Lopez was thrown out there.
I see that.
Snoop Dogg's name was thrown out.
I don't think
that'd have been a great time.
Yeah, but
that'd have been awesome.
Yeah, but would he been like, did you already say E?
The problem is that I look at, and I was just actually talking about this yesterday. There are three game shows right now where their host should be pretty much being the host forever. Like, this is it. You don't want to do it. Like, this is your long-term gig. You don't need to be doing anything else unless it's like a random appearance. And that goes to The Price is Right, Jeopardy, and Wheel of Fortune. This shouldn't be like a quick dip and like dipping your toe in the water. You're like, I get to put on my resume that I was the host of Wheel of Fortune. To me, the next person that hosts Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune, this is a lifetime gig. You shouldn't be looking for anything else. You're a game show host forever now.
About Wheel or Family Feud.
Did I was just getting ready to say Harvey? Family Feud. Yeah, that was gonna be like out of fourth for that.
You know, real, but a lot of the people who have hosted Family other hosts. Feud, they've been hosting like Steve Harvey's been hosting it for like ever now, and I'm honestly surprised. But he's been hosting it forever. The Louis Anderson hosted it for like forever. A lot of these people who have hosted Family Feud hosted for like 5 to 10+ years, which is, again, a really good gig for a while.
I don't think so. I don't think so, because Richard Karn hosted it. John O'Hurley hosted it. I think they're really there like 2 to 3 years. I forgot Louis Anderson was there, honestly. Like,
that was
there was a weird time from when Richard Dawson left and when Steve Harvey took over. Like, there was a weird, like, 10 to 15 year time period where, yeah, you're Louis Anderson. Yeah, there was like 4 or 5 different hosts. Louis Anderson.
You will not attack Louis on our podcast.
I didn't attack him. He was great in what's the one where he was
the cartoon show? Yes, he was great in his own cartoon.
Life was that Life with Louis?
Life with Louis? No, not Life with Louis. But he was great in what was the one he was in with Zach Galifianakis on FX? Where Zach Galifianakis was a clown.
Oh boy.
Hold on.
Dang, what was that show called?
I know. It's gonna hit one of us.
Yeah.
Cool. It's gonna hit one of us. Hold on.
Yep, it's absolutely gonna hit one of us here. It's a shame that we don't have the internet pulled up at our fingertips so we can do Baskets. Baskets is the name of that show.
Oh yes, that wasn't too bad. I thought that was pretty funny for what it was worth. Speaking of things that are good for what it's worth, happy 30th anniversary to Day of the Tentacle.
Oh,
Yeah. The unofficial, like, precursor. It was a point-and-click classic released on June 25th, 1993, to PCs near you.
Oh, man.
There's a fun Easter egg in Zombies Ate My Neighbors with the tentacles, in case you were curious.
See, I thought that you were just talking about my internet search history there.
Oh my goodness gracious.
No one wants to know your history. we see your Twitter likes.
Yeah, you know those are public.
That doesn't bother me at all. I know what's public. I know what I'm liking. I do it because I enjoy it.
Talking about Twitter, what's your Twitter handle? What's your Twitter handle so we can follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. If you guys want to follow me, you can find me at Retro Smash Podcasting. That's my handle on Twitter.
That is an A+ answer. Speaking of things that are A+, happy anniversary, Mankind, who was thrown off of the top of Hell in a Cell by The Undertaker 25 years ago today.
Undertaker music queued up here. 25 years, so I imagine that everybody on this podcast knows that Weldy is a very big wrestling nerd, but his wrestling, his love for wrestling is not nearly as big as mine is, honestly. And that match is, oh my God. Watching a man literally being thrown from the top of that structure, at which everybody thought he had died, and then being thrown in like through it again, which they all thought he had died. It is insane to me that Mick Foley walks to this day. It's wild. It is. It's insane. That match is, it's phenomenal. That is artwork for wrestling in the 90s.
The injuries suffered by Mick Foley from this night: a dislocated shoulder, a dislocated jaw, a concussion, broken ribs, internal bleeding, numerous puncture wounds from the thumbtacks, and knocked out at least one tooth into his nostril, and appeared on Raw the next night.
Good Lord. Freaking, why was he not in the Jackass series?
Yeah, I know.
God dang.
That man is, it's a miracle that he's still walking straight to this day, like, and he's not being carted around in a wheelchair.
Speaking of gruesome injuries, happy trails. We don't have a lot of happy trails, but happy trails. Evander Holyfield's ear bitten off by Mike Tyson during their second boxing match. You want to talk gruesome injuries, man? Oof. Bitten by Mike Tyson 26 years ago today. So 1 year older than mankind's official flight. Evander Holyfield's ear bitten off by Mike Tyson in probably one of the craziest boxing matches I ever remember in my history.
I remember watching this as a kid and it being a very wild event. Like, he just pulls them in and just like goes straight up pit bull and rips his ear off. And everybody goes insane in the living room. Just absolutely bonkers over this moment.
I think the real legend from this fight, honestly, is not Holyfield. It's not Mike Tyson. It's Judge Mills Lane. I think he's the main legend from this, because not only did he not immediately disqualify Tyson for this, all he did was take a point from him and made it, and they fought on, and then he fucking bit him again. God. That was the craziest part of that fight. Like, basically, he was trying to get in the middle. Like, you couldn't have asked for a better referee for this fight. Because, yeah, he was like, yeah, we're taking, like, 2 points. We're not going to disqualify him. We're only taking 2 points from him. And then he went out and bit him again.
And that's why they made a whole caricature for him for a celebrity death match.
I'll allow it.
I'll allow it. Yep, that's why.
I'll allow it. All right, kids. Andy, if the fine listeners of the Retro Smash Video Game Podcast want to ask us any questions or reach us, what email address can they hit us at?
RetroSmashed@gmail.com. We do have one email that came in from somebody named Airy Babel. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's a weird name.
Sounds familiar.
Her email says, "Support sex workers. Don't cross the picket line."
thank you for your email.
I agree, Ari. I do. This is why my Twitter likes are public, and because I support sex workers. So, ha.
And I support us being out of time for today. Any last words, kids?
Yeah, actually.
Thank you again for coming by.
Yeah, you should follow us. Our Twitter handle is @retro_smashed for all of our latest updates on our episodes, as well as updates and tweets from what we're doing in the world.
Wonderful. Andy, where can they follow you on Twitter?
If you want to, you can follow me at @TheAndyAbides. Again, I don't really post much. I just like porno bots and political crap.
You can follow me at twitch.tv/WeldyTime. I'll be on Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. And you can follow me at WeldyTime1 on Twitter. On Twitter.
Whoa. About porn.
Oh, nice. All right, kids. Ricky, thank you for hanging out with us. Andy, thank you for hanging out. Say goodnight, Babs.
Goodnight, Babs.
Goodnight, Babs.
Goodnight, Canada.